you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday. It's June 1st. Happy June, everybody. 2018. June 1st, Jason. Anything special about this day?
No. Nothing at all.
Doghouse.
Nothing at all.
Doghouse.
No, it's my wife's birthday. So today we're going to make it extra special. Well, you know what? At our house, we don't like to have to... How do I want to say this? We don't like to have to try and make it up on the fly. So at our house, we always ask, what do you want for dinner and what kind of cake do you want? Yeah. And so that way we make sure we nail the two important parts. Okay. And so my wife was already very kind and let us know that she wants to go to the Strawberry Festival in Arthur. So that's happening. That starts today, I believe, at 9 a.m. I think it's like 9 to 5 Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday. So we're going to go today and in the afternoon and... whatever the Strawberry Festival is, that's what she wants to do for her birthday, and then we'll get some dinner and together. But
hey, you can take her over to that Beachy's.
She likes Beachy's.
Yeah, that could be.
It was funny because we were talking about it, and she said, "I want to go to the Strawberry Festival," and I said, "Okay, well, when do you want to do that?" And she said, "I don't know, sometime during the day." And I said, "Well, let me know because I did schedule some appointments because I'm working, and I'll move those around if need be." And she says, "Well, I don't know. We'll just go in the afternoon." I said, "Honey, this is Arthur. Everything closes at 5.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, "Oh, yeah." Yeah, yeah. And then she looked it up and she goes, "Oh, it ends at 5. I go, "Yes.
Yeah.
Got to get there in the afternoon, hon."
Oh. Hey, has your household been like mine where with the children out of school, it's like messes get bigger and they sleep in later because they tend to stay up later at night. They sleep in more. And I've had this practice where I was like, "Esther, it's like 8, 8.30, because she's wired at 10, 10.30 at night. So I'm trying to wake her up still pretty early, and I grab her feet, put them on the bed. She kind of hangs there, then she scratches. I said, "Oh, you're being the monkey." Anyways, I get her out of the bed, then she just like walks
around. Well, we would love that, but our kids are up at 6 a.m. every day.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They are not broken from the school thing, so they are up at 6 a.m. every day. We're starting to hear them rustling around, then we start to hear, you know, they're not up for more than 20 minutes before one of them makes the other one angry.
Yes.
And then they,
Mom,
yeah.
Dad.
Yeah. And so, and then, you know, our house is kind of the hub for the block. So we're having sleepovers. We're having kids knocking on the door. I mean, first thing in the morning, I mean, you're barely dressed. And, you know, and their kids are at the door and, you know, can Abigail play? Can Molly play? Can Jacob come out? Can this happen? We're like, oh my gosh. So, yeah, our house has been crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
That home ownership.
Yeah, well, home ownership and then, you know, just hospitality. That matters so much to us that we would open our doors and kind of be the house on the block where kids know that they can come. You know, I just read this book. Well, actually, I didn't read it. I want to make sure that I'm right about this. When Tasha and I go to the pool, we have a pass to go to the pool. It's the one place where we have a frugal place in our life because we love to be able to have the opportunity Sunday afternoons during the summer. We have pool passes. Somebody blessed us with pool passes, and we go to the pool during the summer. But she takes the kids during the week. But I set aside some time. I worked out some date nights. And our date nights now are, we call them pool nights. So we go to the pool together. There's no kids with us. And then we go out to dinner afterwards. When we go to the pool, they have these lawn chairs that are in the water. And so we each bring a book, and we sit and we read. And as we're reading, we kind of share what we're reading with each other. It elicits great conversation. And so what I always do is I bring a marriage book because then for sure we're going to have great conversation because I'm going to ask questions out of it like, how do you feel about this? What did you think before we got married? What do you think after we got married? But Tasha's reading this book on hospitality by Rosaria Butterfield. And it is, what is it? It says, "The Gospel Comes with a Front Door Key," I think is the name of the title. But in it, she's talking about what it means to be a loving component of your neighborhood. And in it, there was this great thing Natasha read to me that said, a lot of people talk about how they're able to be hospitable in a very cheap way. You know, they're able to, you know, I catch myself doing this. I go, well, we'll just get a big package of those cheap hot dogs and we'll go get some of those buns that are almost out of date from the bread store and we'll have those on hand for when the kids come around. You know, or the other day we were at the store and Tasha grabs the all beef hot dogs and I go, I go, honey, they're for the kids. Don't get those. Get those cheap ones down there. You can get a thousand of them for a dollar. Yeah. You know, I mean, they put extra lips and all that kind of stuff in those hot dogs. But in this book, she said, you know, a lot of people comment about how cheaply they can be hospitable. Mm-hmm. She says, my husband and I, we actually budget for hospitality. We budget for loving the people on our block, and in turn, it makes our grocery bill double and some months triple. There are vacations that we have not taken. There are clothes we will never buy, new cars, things that we will never have happen in our life because we have prioritized to give our best to our neighbors. And when she read that to me, I just kind of paused and I thought, gosh, Lord, I want to do that. Like, I want to be so generous to my neighbors, you know, so when they come over and I'm like, hey, have a hot dog, they're getting the all beef hot dog. When they come over, they're getting the fresh bun. When they come over, they're getting the best. Because I want, even in the little things that I do, to communicate that it's not just a hot dog, but that, you know, I wanted to make sure they got the best. So that's really interesting you brought that up, because it makes me think, it made me think about that.
Well, we have a friend, well, he's with the Lord now, Ken Enright, and he called it, I don't know if he called it this or we called it on behalf of him, the wow factor. Mm-hmm. Because when he ever gave or did anything, whether it was, you know, let's give all the kids T-shirts, he would get the collared T-shirts and get it embroidered. If he did this for the international students, he would get their names engraved, which would cost like $8 or $10 more dollars per item.
Right.
Or when he talked about giving donations, you know, we all, okay, somebody, a Walk for Life or whatever it is, and we give $20, $50, bucks, maybe $100. He kind of schooled us, Holly and I. Make it a wow factor. Give them 500. Give them something that, like, wow.
Yeah.
And he had that practice, he and Denise, in so many different ways. And so Holly and I often, it's kind of that same thing. Mm-hmm. We would, like, what can we get on sale, or the bulk amount, or maybe it's, you know, it's reduced because it's going to be stale and sold many days or whatever it is. And we don't give the best, where when we go somewhere and we get, like, wow, those fresh buns, and wow, is that great, and oh, that's the super, you know, deluxe version or edition. It leaves an impression.
Right.
And
well,
you know,
we think we're being good stewards. You know, we say, well, I want to stretch the ministry dollar. I want to be a good steward. But I've got secular friends, you know, friends who don't know who Jesus are. They're in the process of learning about him. And I go over to their house, they're like, I got ribeye steaks. You want one? You know what I mean? And so they're giving their best to me.
Right.
You know, and so why would I go, well, you know, but for the Lord, I want to stretch this out and I'm going to serve people, you know, cheap stuff. No way.
Yeah.
Like, how do we just put our best out there in everything, in the little things? And I just love that when I read that she said we budget for it.
Yeah.
Because budgeting for it means that it matters to you. I had a friend of mine from Bible Study Fellowship a number of years ago who told me, he said, if I want to see your priorities, I'll just look at your checkbook. Mm-hmm. He goes, that'll tell me what matters to you most. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you look at my checkbook and you go, wow, you seem to spend a lot of money on groceries. Well, yeah, because we feed the neighborhood kids. You know, we want to make sure that we are always ready to have somebody over for a meal. Because, you know, let's just be honest. For Christians, what does a meal mean? A meal means a time where we're going to pray. A meal means a time where we may do devotions. A meal becomes a powerful place of ministry for us to get around the table. So why would we not want to put our best foot forward as we love and serve our neighbors, and God opens up doors of opportunity for us to share the gospel with them? And who knows? I mean, listen, if I told somebody on the front end, if I said to you, you know what, Mark, if you buy ribeye steaks, everybody you serve one to will come to the Lord, you would say, heck yeah. I'm gonna buy a cow. I'm gonna have a slot. You know, I'm gonna have a cow's worth of ribeye steaks in my fridge at all times, ready to go. But because you don't know that, you go, well, you know, how about a hot dog? You know, how about this cheapie that I picked up? They were on sale. They were almost out of code. It had that red tag on it saying, buy it now or else.
And both Jason and I worked at grocery stores, so we know what we're talking
about. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, but who knows? You might hand somebody a hot dog and they might bite into it and go, wow, is that a Nathan's hot dog? Oh, yeah, you know, those are the ones they serve at the ballpark. Oh, the ballpark. They start talking to you. Next thing you know, you're talking about Jesus and they're getting saved.
Yeah.
And so why would you not want to put your best foot forward?
Yeah.
You know, always in a way that shows, look at, the Lord gave you the best. Why don't you give the best to your neighbor?
Well, it wasn't that turning the water into wine. Why, Lord, or whatever, Jesus, why did you save the best wine to the last?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and so there was a recognition that, you know, Lord gave a quality product or gave the best. And we know he gave his very own best. God gave the best in his son, Jesus Christ, for all of us.
Yeah, and so, I mean, what a great opportunity. It's the summertime. Our houses are open. We're outside a little bit more. We have the opportunity to get to know our neighbors. So why wouldn't we do that? And, you know, it's really kind of funny because we had a barbecue on Memorial Day. And while we're having the barbecue, I'm running the grill. I love running the grill. It's my favorite thing to do when we have these big barbecues. It's funny, I'm preaching on Acts 2:42 through 47 this Sunday, you know, about what the church looks like. And I'm going to use this illustration of church because it's just one of my favorite things. At the end of our time, at the end of most days, our family, at least Tasha and I for sure, but our family as a whole often will say, what was your favorite thing today? Because we really want to say, what mattered to you today? And so Monday, Tasha, you know, we got done. We were cleaning up. I was in the kitchen putting some things away. And Tasha goes, what was your favorite part of today? I said, running the grill. She goes, oh, you love running the grill, don't you? I said, yeah. I said, you know why? Because I love that all these people come, all different kinds of people. And we always tell them, bring something to grill. And so everybody brings something to grill and they put it on. I always set up a little table next to the grill and they bring all this stuff and they throw it on the table and I just start throwing it on the grill. I usually grab somebody and say, hey, come help me run the grill. You run the tongs, I'll run the spatula. They come up, they help me, and we just start grilling all this stuff. I would say 8 times out of 10, when somebody comes up to get something from the grill, they don't get what they brought. They get what somebody else brought. You know, somebody will bring burgers and then they walk up, they're like, oh, wow, is that pork chops? Yeah, you want a pork chop? Yeah, I want a pork chop. Or somebody will walk up and they'll go like, you know, they brought chicken breasts. And they'll be like, wow, what are those, like Italian sausages? Yeah. Hey, can I get one of those? Yeah, of course. Of course. And nobody's ever like, hey, wait a second, somebody's eating my food. Everybody's like, for the most part, like, I want something actually other than what I brought. And I love that because that's a real sense of unity and community where we have all things in common. And we each bring our part, but we end up sharing in the whole.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so important. So when we had our barbecue, you know, I'm outside and I'm the fool on the grill, you know, like grilling this stuff up and, you know, singeing my arm hairs off and all that kind of stuff. And our neighbors are like pulling in and going in their house and I'm yelling, hey, come on over here. My wife's like, shh, what's wrong with you? Get over here. Hot dogs, get your hot dogs, you know, and I'm doing that. But our neighbors are coming over and they're sitting down and they're like, wow, this is so great. Thank you for inviting us over. We didn't know what we were going to do for dinner or we didn't, you know, and I just say, what a great time. Because listen, this is the thing. This drives me crazy. And we are at times very guilty of this ourselves in this country. And I think in most of our context, we put so much work into our backyards.
Yeah.
You know, people build pergolas and people build big patios and people have fire pits in their backyard and people have enclosed sunrooms and they have all this stuff, put the big Weber awesome grill, you know, you could fly to the moon in that thing in your backyard. I mean, and the trampolines in the backyard and everything's in the backyard. And yet everybody whom you need to meet and greet and get to know in your neighborhood are all in the front, right? That's where they pull into their house. That's where they walk into their house. That's where they come out to get their mail. And so more and more we have taken to being front yard people. You know, we have the trampoline in the backyard, but we more and more pull our chairs out and sit in the front yard so we can wave to everybody, so we can talk to everybody. Because I think it's so important to do front yard ministry, driveway ministry, where we get to know everybody. And you got to be reckless. You've got to be reckless in a way that you'll be like, hey, come over here. Let me talk to you for a minute.
Yes.
You know, because, listen, you live there, right? I mean, wouldn't you want to know? I mean, wouldn't like the worst thing in the world be that you wake up one morning and find out the guy two doors down is like a serial killer and you never knew it because you never talked to him? And I mean, I'm being extreme, but let's just be honest. I mean, my kids ride their bike. This is nothing new. I've said this so many times. My kids ride their bikes up and down the street. They play in the neighborhood. I want to know everybody in the neighborhood. I want to know what they're about. I want to know what makes them tick. And the best way to find out what makes them tick is to get them around the table and eat with them. Because there's something disarming about eating. People start talking about things they might not have talked about anywhere else with you. You know, you start feeding them and I don't know, they get tired and, you know, tryptophan or whatever from whatever they're eating, and they're like, you know, sometimes this happens, you know, or I struggle with this, or oh my gosh, or just, you know, open the door and say, you know, what do you think about Jesus? You know, what do you think about Jesus? I mean, just great opportunities to do that. And so, you know, the Bible says to remain where God has placed you and then to powerfully do ministry there. And so why wouldn't we do that?
Amen and amen. Hey, you had mentioned about taking Tasha, whether it's today or tomorrow, down to the Arthur area. As of Sunday, the big Hope in Christ revival gets launched. In fact, on Thursday night, they were putting up the big circus tent. It's right
How big is the big circus tent? I mean, like, how many people do you think fit in there?
It's like, I forget, like 100. It's humongous. It's humongous. It's a huge tent. On the corner of the main street as you take 57, and I can't remember what exit it is, but then you go through Arcola into Arthur, and you just follow that main stretch. You just keep going, and it's on that main stretch. So you go by Yoder's Restaurant, you just keep going, and it's a former football field, and they're going to have the whole tent is set up now, but beginning Sunday night, June 3rd, 7 p.m., it gets launched. And then it goes through the 17th. So 7 p.m. every night. I think it's like 15 or 16 straight days. And I think each speaker has like 2 days, just about 2 days in a row.
So do you know what the breakout is on it? I mean, how they're going to do it? Are they going to have music, then the speaker? Are they going to have, I mean, what? Well, how is it going to work? Do you happen to know?
I know there'll be music every night. Uh-huh. In fact, Stephen McCleary from our Singing Men, he's kind of overseeing all the music, the different artists. In fact, one night, I should know the exact date, I think it's Saturday or Sunday of next week, the Singing Men are singing. So
oh, really?
We're providing the music one of the night, or I would say we're facilitating the worship. So I think it's a couple sing-alongs that we'll sing, some familiar hymns that everyone will know, and maybe do a few selections. But I don't know if it's song, testimony, intro, then the speaker, the exact format.
I was just wondering for time, if somebody was a little bit late or somebody was, you know, had to leave a little bit early, where all that fell so they knew they could get down there and see that. That's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be really great. I'm really hopeful and really praying. I know that the poster there lists like all different kinds of things. You know, are you struggling with this or are you struggling with that? You know, are you around these different things? You know, are they impacting you or affecting you? And I just really pray, you know, that people will get freedom from things like addiction or grief or lust or familial issues. I pray that people will be able to let go of anger and idolatry. And I just really pray that people will find salvation. I mean, really, you know, on par with, you know, we don't hear these kinds of stories a lot today, but on par with the Billy Sunday, Billy Graham type revivals where people would come forward and people would give their lives. And I pray for more than just even rededications of life. I pray for people who will be finding new life in Christ.
Yeah, they'll go from being shackled to unshackled. Yeah. That redemptive message will pierce their hardened hearts, and they'll just surrender and commit to following Jesus and be awakened to that they're sinners in need of a Savior.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny that you were, I think earlier you said, well, you know, gosh, this summer has been pretty hot already, and they're going to set up this tent, and is it going to be hot in there? And it reminded me of a story, I think, where Billy Sunday was giving a message, and it was a hot day. He said, you know, it was in the high 90s or low 100, you know, and there was a gentleman who was in the tent, and it was uncomfortable. It was hot. It was muggy. It was all these things. And the man's testimony was that as Billy Sunday was speaking, he was getting hotter. Hmm. And the heat inside the tent was actually, for him, like a living illustration of the heat of hell. And the man's testimony was that when he accepted Christ, when he stood up and he raised his hand, that he felt coolness come over him. Mm. And so I thought that it was kind of interesting that God will use in his sovereignty our surroundings to woo us to him, to show that he's the God over all things and everything. And so, you know, I just would ask folks that, you know, maybe going down to Arthur is going to be difficult. Maybe it's going to be hard to get down there for every night. I mean, it is. How many nights in a row? Gosh, 10?
Yeah, no, like four, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 straight nights.
So 15 days. So maybe going down for 15 nights is going to be really hard for you. Maybe you're strategically saying, you know, hey, I can go to this one or these four or this six. But I just want to ask you if you would covet to pray for each one of these nights, starting Sunday night. I mean, Sunday night at 7 p.m., every single one of you within earshot right now, at 7 p.m. on Sunday night, can get on your knees for a moment and just pray that God would supernaturally use something as silly as a tent and a speaker and some folding chairs for his glory and somebody's freedom from whatever it is on this list that they might be struggling with. And then not only would you pray on Sunday night, but that you would covet then to pray for the next 15 days. And at 7 p.m., whether you set an alarm or whether you have it on your fridge or however it works out for you, that you would just get on your knees and say, I want to commit this to the Lord. Because I want to hear how the Lord has used this mightily mightily, and not for the glory of big numbers, not for the glory of saying, wow, Hope in Christ Revival was a huge success, but for the fact that there will be, like Mark said, some people who become unshackled from sin as they see their Savior for the first time.
Hope in Christ Area Revival, June 3rd through the 17th, 7 p.m. in Arthur, Illinois. And you can find out more at hopeinchristillinois.com, hopeinchristillinois.com. And I'm looking at it because I'm holding my Ivan Parker poster here. And it's like, oh, we're both on Saturday, June 9th, so a week from tomorrow. Their special speaker at the Hope in Christ Area Revival will be an FCC youth speaker. But that same night at 7 p.m. here at next door to Lincoln Square at the First United Methodist Church, Ivan Parker, his son Josh, and the singing men of GNN will be presenting a concert. So many ways to hear the voice of God through singing, through messages, through the dividing of his word, through testimonies. So we hope you'll get involved in a number of area events and gatherings that are God-honoring, that reveal the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the one and only way, that you can find hope and life in him. And ask him into your heart, and then do your best to follow him by meeting with other Bible believers and getting involved in your local church, and then just ministering to others, as Pastor Jason mentioned, just in your front driveway, inviting that neighbor over. They're raking their yard. Pull your rake out and help them for a few minutes. Actually, that happened to me the other day, this neighbor twice. Can I come and help spread mulch? And he said, really, I'll come and help spread mulch. And I just kind of felt sheepish that, I mean, he was so intentional and wanted to. He said, before I shower, I'm available. And I was like, no, let's just have you over for dinner before you start working for me. But
yeah, see, and that's really, you know, some of the greatest ministry times I've ever had have come because I'm in need. Like somebody is watching me do something, and they're thinking, I need to go help that guy because he's really, you know, he's struggling, or the job is huge, or it needs to be done. And those have been great times for me to minister to somebody. And I think that God, in our weakness, God comes in strength and brings people to us.
All right, everyone. A revival is at hand. Get fortified this Sunday in your Bible-believing church and then head out to Arthur by 7 p.m. so you can enjoy the launching of Hope in Christ Area Revival. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.